Blog Talk Radio.
We offer you the greeting of Assalamu Alaikum, and that is to say that God peace be with you. Our program is the health and wealth of natural human community life. Here on radio station WIWDM of Blog Talk Radio. We normally begin the program with an opening prayer, and we'll do that tonight. The prayer is titled Al-Fatiha, which is to say in English, the opening. I'll say it in the original language, and then I'll translate it in English, and then we'll proceed from there. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ar-Rahmanir rahim. Maliki yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Ihdinas siratal mustaqim. Siratal ladina an'amta 'alayhim. Fayyul maktubi alayhim walad-dallin. Amen. And that is to say in English, with God's name, most gracious, most merciful. The praise and the thanksgiving is due to Almighty God, who is Lord and Cherisher of all the world, all of the systems of knowledge, who is most gracious, most merciful, the Master of the Day of Judgment. Thee alone do we worship, thine aid we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those upon whom you have bestowed your grace and your mercy, those whose portion in this life is not wrath, and those who go not astray. I mean. Al-Fatiha is a prayer that is a good opening for any activity. The reason is that it is asking for guidance, protection, and help. We welcome you, the listening audience, to the program. We thank you for taking the time to listen to us tonight, to participate possibly in this conversation, and we think you will benefit from it. For those who are in the listening audience, you can invite friends and associates to participate in this conversation by giving them the telephone number, which is 714-816-4673. We have a problem here in the studio, so you need to bear with us for a moment. We have some interference here now, so please just be patient with us. Bad sound. So, Jeff, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, well, I'm getting a lot of static here in the studio, so I've got a problem. Can each one of you just acknowledge that you can hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, it just stopped, so maybe that takes care of it. The program is offered each Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. My name is Abdul Hakim Yamini. I am the host of the program tonight. And I co-host the program weekly with my wife. We normally do alternate Mondays. I think somebody needs to mute their phone because that's probably where the static is coming from. I co-host the program with my wife, Layla Kadira Yamini. Normally, I focus on my nights on wealth, and she focuses on health. In this program, we are pursuing the relationship between health and wealth. We have been able to determine that they both have the same root origin as words in the lexicon. And that root origin is balance, well-being, and those kinds of adjectives. So health and wealth, as they relate to natural human community life, represents a tandem that you need both of them in balance in order to achieve community life. So that is the purpose of us pursuing this program and this public conversation around health and wealth as it relates to natural human community life. We invite you to invite others again to join us tonight for this conversation. We can accept questions during the program, comments from the program during the program, and we invite you to call in and raise your questions or make your comments. We hope that you will be able to hold your comments. We have a full program tonight. Hold your comments until the latter part of the program. But if you have a burning question for our panelists and you need to just come on, then match one on your receiver, and we'll get a notice here in the studio, and we'll be able to open up a mic so you can make your comment or raise your question. Our guests tonight on our panel are all from, well, let me say this again. We are looking around the country and really internationally to see where there are signs of model community life. And we believe that Clarkson, Georgia is a crown jewel in that evolving process of producing model community life. So again, our theme tonight is about the vision, a global vision for the possibility or the opportunity for Clarkson to evolve into a model community. So we're pursuing that topic tonight, and we are blessed to have on our panel tonight, I believe, five individuals from Clarkson area, from the Clarkson community, all of whom are doing work in the community to promote community development. So Reverend Khalif Smith is one of our guests. Mr. Paul McLennan is the other guest. Brother Ronnie Amin is the third guest, and Imam Muhammad Mendez is the fourth guest. And Sister Betty, are you still there?
I'm still here.
Okay. Sister Betty Amin Hassan, Hassan Amin is also on with us, and she'll give us her perspective, which is always valuable. And so we're going to pursue the program by generating this conversation tonight. And, of course, what we want to do first is allow each one of our panelists to give us about a three-minute introduction of themselves and share with us what you are doing working in the community of Clarkston that is leading toward the promotion of strong community life. So let's start with you, Reverend Smith.
Good evening, and thank you for having me on. I want to wish you all blessings in the name of our Lord and Savior, and as well to all who are present. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
My name is Khalif Smith. I am a pastor, the pastor of Clarkson United Methodist Church. There in the city of Clarkston, right in the middle of the city. My background is mixed, I should say. I was raised as a child of a United Methodist pastor and grew up in the city of New York, where I did most of my education. And at the ripe old age of, I think, 18 or 19, I decided that New York had enough of me. So I left New York and pursued a degree here in Georgia in information technology. So continued in that space for quite some time and ended up getting a Bachelor of Science degree in information technology from DeVry University in began working with a technology company in Norcross, stayed there for a while, and pursued another degree in information technology or telecommunications. And then just continued to do work in information technology with that company. And as I was there at that technology company, found that I had a gift or a skill for bringing people together. In fact, ended up in the position or role as a project manager. Went back to school and got a master's degree in information technology while I was there, and worked for a long time as a project manager with that company, and then felt the call of God on my life and decided to leave the technology company and go into the ministry, at which point I went back to school again at Emory, at the Candler School of Theology, and pursued ordination in the United Methodist Church. I've been appointed to a small African-American church in Tequila, named Mount Zion United Methodist, which I was there for a year, and then was involved in a merger of that African-American church with a primarily Caucasian church right down the road, Tequila First United Methodist. And then once the two churches were merged together, I was there for 2 years as the associate pastor before being appointed over to Clarkston. But in all of that time, God has really challenged me and I think gifted me with the ability to build community and to build relationships and to bring people together. And so I feel blessed in doing a ministry where I can affect community by bringing people together.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, Reverend. Mr. McLennan. Mr. McLennan, are you there? Brother Ronnie, will you go next, please?
Oh, okay. Good evening, everyone. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Ronnie Amin, and I've been living in the Clarkston area going on for 10 years. I'm a citizen of Clarkston. I guess I can say I moved into Clarkston, my wife and I, and another group of people moved into the Clarkston area to really, for that sole purpose of developing Marla community. That was one of our purposes for moving into the Clarkston area. And so during the time that I've been in the Clarkston area, I've participated in a lot of different groups, group trainings that relate to community building. So that's sort of what I've been doing is, more or less, I guess you can say, building relationships, you know, because my daily routine is, you know, going out to the different places that people go to, shopping, to the library, to the mosque to make prayer, and just Clarkston Community Center. And so in going to those different places, you naturally run into people. And so I was just thinking about this particular part of the program, and I just really thought, you know, building relationships is pretty much just in a natural way. It's basically what I do daily in really building community. And also at the same time, seeking self-improvement, you know, trying to improve my own personality, my own, my own awareness of things so I can be more of an asset to the community, you know. So that's pretty much my relationship in Clarkston.
Yes, yeah, thank you, Brother Ronnie. Thank you. Paul, are you there? I think we lost Mr. McLennan. Sister Betty, would you share with us briefly?
Yes, I'd like to say greetings to the listening audience and assalamu alaikum to others. And I would like to sum up my vision of Clarkston in a poem that Almighty God inspired me to write in October 2007. And since I have 3 minutes, I'll go right into the poem. It says, hundreds of people from different cultures, nations, and tribes a universal community living together side by side. From their native lands and family, they had to suddenly depart, settled in Clarkston, Georgia, a little town with a big heart, forming beautiful neighborhoods with residents already there who believe democracy is a way of life to find prosperity instead of despair, where people's ideas are welcomed in the meetings at City Hall by the mayor and city council who listen to the voices of all, where the human rights of citizens are important and protected, where people's interests and values are shared and deeply respected. Clarkston, the town where people found a home and renewed hope, where freedom, opportunity, and justice are much greater than a vote, where people find peace and equality. What dimensions will it bring to a town that recognizes life is sacred for all human beings? That's my introduction.
That's a vision, Sister Betty. Thank you very much. Paul, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now, Paul.
Okay, I'm sorry. I think I lost the signal. My name is Paul McLennan, and I'm very grateful for this opportunity to have this discussion because I believe Clarkston can be a model and is a model for how the world can be and should be. I've been a political activist since high school back in the 70s. I moved to the South in 1977. A lot of my background is in the labor movement. I've been a member of the transit union at MARTA for 30 years, and I got to meet Sister Betty working on issues related to transportation and the disability community. And I think what I'm most excited about with the work in Clarkston is the potential to see the intersection of so many issues and so many different kinds of people. And the contribution that I would like to make is to try and bring a human rights perspective to our work, because I've found that that's a very helpful way to look at the rights that we're all guaranteed because we are human beings who exist together on this planet. And in particular in Clarkston, that there's a way for us to find common ground.
Thank you. Thank you, Paul. Things are falling in place. The picture is getting clearer. Imam Mendez, you share with us, please?
Yes, sure. Greetings. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be upon all of you. Shalom aleichem. For our listeners who are Jewish and Christian, my name is Muhammad Mendez, Muhammad Adeyinka Mendez, and I'm currently serving as the imam. An imam is a Muslim pastor at Masjid al-Mu'mineen, the Mosque of the Faithful, in Clarkston. And I'm really honored to be on the show with our distinguished panelists and with you, brother, Hakeem Al-Yamini. I a little bit about myself. I'm a Nigerian American. I was born here in the States, but my father immigrated to the United States in the 60s. So on my father's side, I'm the son of an immigrant. But on my mother's side, I'm the son of the soil. My mother's an African American from Louisiana by way of Houston. And I came to Atlanta first, my house, and then I went out to Ohio State. And then when I, me and my wife decided to move to Atlanta, and the first place we chose was Clarkston. My brother Ronnie, we were looking for community life. We're looking for a situation where we would know our neighbors, and we felt a part of a larger family. And we found that in Clarkston. I first moved to Clarkston in 06. And my Clarkston roots began with Masjid al-Mu'mineen, the Mosque of the Faithful, where I am currently serving as the imam. And what I've noticed about Clarkston and what I appreciate about it is its potential to really serve as a model for not the clash of civilizations that Samuel Huntington wrote about in his book back in 1996, but I think, you know, Clarkston can serve as the model for an embrace of civilizations. We, based on the studies that I've read, Clarkston is one of the, if not the most diverse area in the Southeast. We have people from the United States, of course. We have Americans. We have East Africans. We have Cambodians, Bosnians, Arabs, Indians, Pakistanis, Vietnamese. We have people from every continent in this one city. And as Sister Betty said in her poem, it is a small city with a big heart, and that's how Clarkston sees itself. We just have to make sure that the vision is communicated so that we keep the city's heart big, and we can serve as a cultural oasis where you have the best of each culture, the best that every community has to bring. Is offered, you know, for the benefit of everybody. And right now, the main thing that I'm focusing on is working at the mosque to support those congregants who really want to get in the trenches and help make the city of Clarkston a safer, cleaner, more spiritual, more viable and lucrative point on the map. And along with that, I've been working with some of our interfaith groups, especially youth, a lot of young people, high school students, college students, Jewish youth, Christian youth, Muslim youth, who want to go beyond interfaith dialogue and move towards interfaith service, where we are locking arms to serve the weak, to serve the oppressed, and to serve those who are hungry, homeless, and in need of care. So that's kind of my background, and this is really where I see things going. I think we have a great opportunity in front of us.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, thank all five of you for that, those intros. Our first question up is that, you know, when you talk about vision, what comes to mind is a clear picture of something, a clear picture of something. And if it's really an empowered vision, it's almost a three-dimensional picture of something. So when we think about community life, we think of a three-dimensional picture, and we can look at that picture and discern things about it to give it its life, its purpose, its direction. So each one of you, if you are moved to do so, what do you see that is currently in motion in Clarkston that suggests that it is possible that Clarkston could become this model global community? And please, when you get ready to talk from now on, just tell us which one is talking.
Okay, this is Ronnie. This is Ronnie Amin. I'd like to make a comment regarding the question you asked, Hakeem.
Great.
Okay, I like what you have here as a natural human community life, because a lot of what I see is a natural development, because when I travel out and go to the grocery store, go to the library, go to the other venues around the city of Clarkston, you're constantly having an interaction with different people, because all of us have these basic same needs: food, clothing, you know, shelter. You know, we live in the different areas where we coming in contact with each other. So I just see that natural human interaction between people working to fulfill their particular needs, really is a process of growth and development in itself, you know. When you meet someone, you're friendly, you share a greeting with that person, or you're shopping in the grocery store, and you're constantly seeing that cashier there every day when you go in, you're speaking to them, giving them the greetings and really wishing them well and complimenting them on that good services that they give. All of this is relationship building to me. When you see the store manager, which I do, see the store manager, speak to him, and just building relationship, just these natural interactions that we come in. I go to the library, for instance, and I've gone to the library so regular, the whole staff, you know, they almost see me as someone working in the library, because sometimes I assist some of the people in the library who may not know all the ins and outs of working the computer or some other thing they may be looking for. So I sort of assist. So I guess I sort of make myself, in a sense, friendly in the sense of assisting those that I sort of observe that need some assistance. So I think just the natural interactions that we come in contact with every day really progresses that relationship, as well as planning things that we do to work to establish community life. But just the natural interaction that we come in contact with each other, I think that's a big part of developing community.
Yeah, thank you, Ronnie.
Yes,
other comments on that question?
Yes, this is Betty. I'd like, I'm so very impressed with what I see happening in Clarkson, and I know that Reverend Khalid Smith can speak to this, but one day Ronnie and I were coming through the side parking lot of the Clarkson United Methodist Church, the church which Reverend Khalid Smith is the pastor over, and we saw some people who were some young brothers who were outside about to enter the church, and we just got into a conversation with them about where they were from, and they were from Burundi. And then it was not very long ago, the Fugees, who are well known for as international soccer players, have I learned from Reverend Khalid Smith that they have their school inside of the Clarkson United Methodist Church. Now, this just blows my mind. Now, before, Clarkson United Methodist Church was predominantly Caucasian. And to see a church reach out to people in the community and give them a home and a place to worship who is totally, you know, from another country, another culture, so forth, another race of people, it was just really fantastic to me. And I see that the International Bible Church has done the same. They have a number of people from various cultures who come there to have worship. Now, all worshiping under one facility. And recently, as we held our Clarkson Interfaith Group meetings at the Clarkson First Baptist Church, I saw just a whole group of refugees from Burma, Myanmar, and from Bhutan, who were there for ESOL classes and other classes. And I said, wow, I love this. This is faith in community, not in a brick walled, you know, structure that separates itself from serving the needs of the people, as Imam Mendez mentioned. And so we have a great model and people of faith joining hands, you know, and embracing others who are other human beings, making up this very beautiful human community of people who faith and their beliefs may have some differences, but the similarity of serving the human beings, other human beings like ourselves, is most outstanding. And I'm grateful you're giving us this opportunity to share that, because I think that that is a great model of what Clarkson is and what Clarkson can become.
Well, what we're talking about now is, and that's two sharing, so we'll keep going with this. What are the indications that this vision is possible, this vision of global model community life? So any other comments on that from other panelists?
Yeah, sure. This is Khalid Smith, just chiming in. You know, Sister Betty brings up a really good point. Since I've been in Clarkson, and I've only been there for a very short period in the life of the city, I was appointed there in July of 2012. But what I've seen in the community, which I believe would make it a perfect model for the global and the larger picture for model community, is that even though you have people who have come together from so many walks of life, so many different nations, so many different cultures and backgrounds, that there is this beautiful, beautiful relationship that happens between so many people who have escaped persecution. And so I think as we move forward in Clarkson, what we find is that we are so intent on not having people have run from persecution into persecution, but allowing them to run from persecution into love. And when we base the community really on this sense of love and human rights, as Paul mentioned, that people have a different spirit about interacting with one another. And so I think what I've seen in Clarkson that makes it unique to me, and the reason that I think that it is a good model for the global community, is because of that spirit, right? Hmm. You know, oftentimes we don't really talk about how the spirit moves in a community. We don't talk about how the spirit moves amongst groups of people, but really and truly, healing comes through that spirit. And if we are all in the right mind, in the right spirit, when we're gathered there in Clarkson, you see so many things going into work, because everyone has come in with the right intentions and the right spirit. As Sister Betty mentioned, even within the confines of my church building, you know, we have an Eritrean congregation. We have two Seventh-day Adventist congregations from Southeast Asia. We have a Burundi congregation. We have the refugee school, or the Fuji school, excuse me. And then we also have another organization that works within the community called the Friends of Refugees. And so at any given point in my day, I may interact with people from five or six or seven different countries just by simply walking into my building. And, you know, if they all have that spirit of love, I think this is what starts the what's unique to the Clarkson community.
Right. Thank you, Reverend. Paul, you have a comment on this?
Yes, there's a concrete example, a story I'd like to share.
Okay.
Every year around the world, Human Rights Day is celebrated. And in a very short time, the Clarkson Interfaith Group and a subcommittee that is working especially on the human rights perspective organized a Human Rights Day where we had, I would say, around 50 people. And just in that, and we arranged the chairs deliberately in a circle. Brother Ronnie had the suggestion that we have a sharing section of the agenda where people could tell their stories. We had culture. We had education about the human rights framework and how it's recognized internationally. And some of the stories were very heartfelt. For example, a young teenager, I think from Somalia, was talking about bullying that she faced at her school. And that led to a broader discussion about the experience that people have had with bullying in their own lives, even those of us who've been born and raised in this country. But the thing that strikes me in terms of the potential is that we know we're familiar with the phrase divide and conquer, and that's been used internationally and nationally in this country to keep people from experiencing the universal humanity that we all share. And this work in Clarkston has the potential to model, like I said before, how the world could be where that interference, whether in the past it's been caused by colonialism or segregation in this country, that those things that have divided us in the past can be overcome and we can move forward together and create a new model.
Fantastic. Simply fantastic. We could paint this conversation thus far, make the powerful collage. We could put all of that together. It paints a very powerful picture. So I'm convinced now myself that the vision not only is possible, but the vision is emerging. It is taking shape and form. So the next round of questions, and please, if you have a comment, just tell us who's commenting and share with us. Imam Mendez, do you have a comment on this particular area of division, the possibility of division?
Yeah, I think, you know, that what I see working right now towards that vision, you know, along with all the beautiful efforts that Reverend Khalif mentioned and Sister Becky mentioned, is the Clarkston Community Center. It's the Clarkston Community Center, which is, you know, right next to the library and down the street from our mosque, is really an amazing point of convergence for different cultures, different generations, all working to help each other become better human beings. So there's after-school programs going on. There's job training. There's you know, health fairs during the Martin Luther King Day weekend, where I first met Reverend Khalif Smith. We had hundreds of people, you know, assemble at the center, and then from the center they were going to go to different parts of the Clarkston community to, you know, pick up trash and, you know, clean and just, you know, serve and, you know, make the place safer and cleaner. And you have people from all kinds of backgrounds there. So I really see the Clarkston Community Center as a success story. There are a lot of places around the country where people are just not willing to engage the other. They're not willing to engage people who look differently than they do, or speak differently, or believe differently. And I think that's something that's refreshingly different about the best of those who live in the Clarkston area.
Fantastic. Thank you. Well, thank you all for that round of comments. The picture is getting clear. The next question I have is, since we see that the opportunity is there for this vision to materialize, and in fact, a model of global community life can realize or manifest itself right there in Clarkston, what are the things that you see that will need to be constantly given attention and built upon to keep the community going in that direction toward becoming a model community? What programs and initiatives that you see that need continued nurturing, continuous resourcing, as Reverend Smith says, surging power, spiritual power to keep them going in the right direction? What are those initiatives and those opportunities and those programs within Clarkston?
This is Khalif again. I'd like to just start by saying that Imam Mendez brings up a very good point in the in the Clarkson Community Center. That is one of the greatest resources there within the city, and points of convergence where people come to as I always say, people come together when they have fun together, when they enjoy time together, when it's not so contrived or set into a plan. But at the community center, you find a place where people come to enjoy and appreciate art and music and even some social programs like classes for learning and those types of things. So I think that as kind of a central hub of the city, the community center has found itself as a place where you get the interaction of people from different cultures, even different languages, different faiths, in an area where they are particularly having fun and enjoying themselves. And I think that that goes toward the relationship building as well, and over time we'll continue to build a community. And so I would say that that's one area that definitely should have more resources availed to it and as much, you know, as we can to help it out.
That community center is a historic building, isn't it? It was once a school.
Yeah, I believe it is. It used to be, I think, an elementary school, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. That's a beautiful building. Other comments?
Yes, this is Betty Hassan Amin. I'd like to point out something that was of particular importance to me when Ron and I first moved in the Clarkson area and being in Clarkson proper. We started going to the meetings at City Council. Just in my daily travels around Clarkson, I noticed that Clarkson had quite a few persons from some of the war-torn areas who had disabilities. It was obvious to me. I have a spinal cord injury, and I've been in a wheelchair for 46 years. And I noticed that the streets were not accessible and was very difficult and very cumbersome for people with disabilities to get around. And so I took that interest to the city council and expressed it. And I talked with, at this time, it was a city commissioner that is Burl Ellis, who is now the CEO of DeKalb County. And at that time, Vernon Jones was the CEO of the county. And he came to a Dowell Heights Citizens Association meeting. And I spoke with them about the need to make to be more sensitive and to make Clarkson a more pedestrian-friendly place for residents to get around. And by the grace of God, they listened and began to make immediate effort toward making the Clarkson sidewalks and streets accessible. And that effort is still going on, and to make bus stops accessible for people with disabilities. And then after that, a group of women from different cultures, myself included, formed a group called Project Access. And that group worked with refugees with disabilities to make sure that they got the services that they need, because many come here with presenting different kinds of disabling challenges. And the former mayor, Lee Swaney, gave us a resolution, you know, with regard to being ambassadors for people with disabilities here. So as a matter of fact, the former mayor, who passed away almost 2 years ago, now Mayor Howard Tigre, came to our home, and we sat down and shared with him ways that Clarkson could become more pedestrian-friendly, more sensitive to the people with disabilities. Many of them did, because they were not citizens yet, they had no access to medical services, you know, to have a way of having good health, and to have attention given to their needs as people with disabilities. And before you know it, we had just made just a beautiful, created a beautiful relationship with Chris Holiday and others, and Mike Singleton and others who listened to our concerns. Brother Amin, I know you remember that because you were one of the people who provided transportation for the refugees to go down to the DeKalb County Board of Health and state our position with regard to their needs. And before you know it, doors began to open. Many of those people now have their benefits, and however, there still needs to be more attention given to persons here with disabilities who can access the opportunities that are given by law, and it should be given, you know, just by virtue of the fact that we should love and want for another human being what we would love and want for ourselves. So thank you for the opportunity to share that.
Yes. Praise God, Sister Betty. Other comments in this area?
This is Paul. In terms of keeping things going, I think what's critical is that the voices of the people themselves be heard and respected, and that we continue to create situations where we can have more dialogue on a regular basis with people in the community so we can hear what their concerns are and where they can start to feel more a part of the life of the community. There's a lot of issues that need to be addressed, like Betty has referred to in terms of trauma, PTSD, issues that people bring with them when they come here, a lot of education that needs to be done. We're working on the first issue of our newsletter. So I think some of the basic fundamentals of building an organization, empowering people to play a part in their own struggle to create a better life for themselves and their families, communication on a regular basis. These are some of the things we're going to need to do to keep this going, I think.
Right. Fantastic. So are there other things that if they're continually built upon, will keep us moving in the direction of model community?
This is Ronnie Amin. And I'd like to add to the conversation in the sense that there's a young man that works with the youth out of the Carson Community Center as well, named Nikhil Ryo, and he has a Carson Youth Initiative, you know. And I think that's important, that he's bringing young people together, sort of like, you know, the young people being the future. So he's sort of starting them off at an earlier age to really, with the diversity here, starting them off at an earlier age, you know, coming in contact with each other, doing planning events for the community, planning different functions for the community, so community consciousness, I guess you could say, as well as being aware of the community and what the needs of the people in the community. So I think that's a good initiative. He's working with young people, and you know, and then him being a younger person himself, I see that there's a more free expression for the youth towards him, and I see him as a good leader of that particular group as well as getting the youth involved. You know, right. I think I was a part of a workshop dealing with the Kingian nonviolent workshop related to Dr. Martin Luther King. And it was said by one of the leaders of that particular group, Dr. Lafayette, who worked with Dr. King. He was saying that if you have an organization and you don't have no youth, you don't have an organization, really. You know, I always kept that in mind, you know, so there is a youth component that's pretty active here, and we just continue to need to support it just continue to support it. So I just wanted to add that. And also there's a group here, Clarkston Community Development, that's a big part of Clarkston. I know that they facilitated a lot of discussions about different concerns of safety, sort of getting the pulse of the people, you know, bring them well in focus groups to really discuss their concerns from their various communities where they live, the various locations that they live in. So I think it has played a big part in continuing conversation and dialogue among the different groups, you know, related to different issues in the community.
And quickly, right. This is Betty again. When Ronnie talked about the youth that Nikhil Royal is progressing here in Clarkston, which is very beautiful, we'd also like to talk about Emory. Emory has a great interest and participation in what's happening in Clarkston and aiding that effort toward a universal multicultural community. Ronnie and I recently took part in a 5-day, 40-hour community transformation session that was headed up by Sumaya Karimi and also two other professors from Emory. And there were over 30 students from Emory who were there, mostly public health majors, who was looking at Clarkston becoming a whole community. So, I mean, Emory is a very prestigious university, universally known. And so for Emory to see the potential here and students come here, that's very impressive with regard to other social scientists seeing that Clarkston has great potential to become that model beloved community that we know it can become. So I just wanted to share that.
Yeah. Thank you, Sister Betty.
You're welcome.
Other comments in this area?
Yeah, I was going to say, this is Imam Muhammad Mendes. I was just going to add to what everyone has said that I think that there's a great opportunity to build on the existing relationships that we have, but to focus those relationships and improve the communication and collaboration between members of the business community, business leaders in Clarkston, educators in Clarkston, clergy members, activists, and artists. I think each of these five groups really need to lead this effort so that the human spirit can really blossom. It takes each of these sectors: educators, activists, entrepreneurs, clergy, and artists. You know, people who produce culture. You know, and people who you know, bring us together with their talents and gifts. I think that, you know, if we build on the current relationships and we are able to identify times of the year where we can begin to learn more about each other. We all could see that it's a very diverse community. But there's another step that needs to be taken, which is, you know, learning about the Burmese, you know, learning about the Somalis and the Eritreans beyond their problems and their needs as refugees, but you know, what their history is, what their contribution to the human story is, and how they how the strengths of their culture and the strength of the spirit that they brought with them can help make Clarkston a better place for all of us.
Well, okay, I have a couple of questions that we can explore a little bit in this same area. I don't know, maybe 5 years ago, I met with Mayor Sweeney because the Atlanta Regional Commission was pursuing a program called Livable Centers Initiative. And I do know that Clarkson eventually got LCI, it was called the LCI grant, which was really to allow the community to create a shared vision for the future. Are you all familiar with the LCI program?
Yes.
Yeah, this is...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, go ahead, yes.
Oh, you go ahead, Cody. You go
yeah,
ahead,
this Reverend. Is Khalif. Yeah, I'm only briefly familiar with it as, of course, my church and congregation was working with the city to use some of that grant money to do some development on the parking lot, which is just behind the city hall, which, from what I understand, they never really came to allowed that grant to come to fruition, or at least the full use of it to come to fruition, which is unfortunate, I think. But I really just believe that the city just wasn't ready for it at that point. You just didn't have the right people in the right places, in leadership, and again, you know, with the right spirit, with the desire to work together to use that grant in the way that I think it was intended to be used.
Mm-hmm.
So, go ahead.
Ronnie, were you going to say something about the LCI?
Oh, yeah, that was good. I didn't have anything further to say.
Yeah, I raised that question for several reasons. The LCI program was intended to allow the community to come up with a plan for development. And I was wondering whether that plan was produced from that grant. If I'm hearing correctly, there was no plan ever produced. Go on, Ronnie.
Okay, this is Ronnie. I mean, now if you're talking about a plan as far as on paper, yeah, there was a plan on paper because I had the whole plan, is a whole assessment of the city, you know, the needs, those things that were positive, that the city had, those things that were needed to be worked on, those things that were maybe needed to be upgraded. So that was an actual plan that was done by I can't remember the agency's name that did this. It was a pretty thick plan for the changes that needed to be made in the development of a town center and things like that. But it never came to fruition. That's for sure, you know. But that was actually a plan, you know.
Yeah. And this discussion, you know, this is what I do as a life mission, community planning.
Uh-huh.
And I would encourage everyone who's listening, but particularly this panel, to make sure you get that's a public document. That plan is a public document. Get a copy of that plan, and you can get it from the Atlanta Regional Commission, and it's also online. You can go online to the Atlanta Regional Commission. The plan is online.
Yes, sir.
If that plan was developed properly, it took the input of the community to come up with a picture of the potential for community development. And in this conversation, we're looking for all things that can serve as a glue to keep the focus strong. That plan could be such a point of focus for the future community development. I'll just leave
sir.
That there. But
yes,
the
sir.
LCI program, I would encourage you to investigate that program.
Yes,
because
sir.
What it does allow for, if the plan was created and approved by the Atlanta Regional Commission, it allows the city to have priority position for resources in the future. So what I hear developing in this conversation are all kinds of opportunities where resources could make a difference.
Yes, sir.
And
yes,
I would
sir.
Encourage, again, that each one of you get a hold to that plan because it is a public document and see what was the picture developed in that plan. And you probably would be surprised. I'm saying that listening to this conversation, it's like a tool in your hand that you might grew to appreciate. So that was just one thing I want to throw out. The other is as we try and create environments called community, and when we say community, we're talking about an environment where the inhabitants in that environment recognize that we're all one soul, that we're all connected together. And in our original nature as human beings, I don't want hurt to come to me, and I know that if my neighbor hurt, I'm hurting also. So I want to eliminate hurt. This is the original human nature. We are kind of headed in that direction, and one aspect of that concern is food security. Clean, wholesome food, which promotes health and well-being. So I was also inspired by the community garden.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the United States today, there is a huge movement around urban gardening, where we are producing food that we know what we put on it and what we didn't put on it. We know who grew it and who didn't grow it. That complements the other food supply, but nevertheless. So what potentials do you see? This is my question. What potentials do you see in that garden? I think it is behind the community center, being a source of food production for the whole community.
Well, this is Betty again, and it's very the potential is really oh wow, it's truly great and remarkable. We Ron and myself started going to the Clarkson Farmers Market when it opened up this year. But we went to the testing that was done with the survey to just assess, you know, how strongly there would be, you know, a need and desire for a farmer's market. And it was so overwhelming that they actually started it this year. They opened it from April to October, and it was open every third Sunday of the month. But we are hearing now from the organizers of it that beginning 2013, this year, it will be operating every week. So that shows you the great need for it. There are many farmers locally who grow the food. And what's important to me is a lot of the people from the various cultures are not accustomed to this American food. Not canned food and not, the, you know, these other processed, you know, foods. They're not used to that. You can see many of them on the side of the street knowing and recognizing plants that they pick and go home and prepare. So I'm loving this idea of a farming and agricultural development, you know, and component of Clarkson, because this gives the residents here, the refugees, the immigrants, and asylees and others, an opportunity to grow the food they are accustomed to eating. And I just love that. And then it gives us an opportunity to taste other people's food and, you know, be grateful for this universal plate and table that Almighty God has put right here in Clarkson, that we can all, you know, benefit from. So I'm just loving that, you know, farming concept that has just taken off here in Clarkson.
Hmm.
Yeah, this is Khalif.
Yes, Robert.
Yeah, this is Khalif. So since I've been in Clarkson, I had the opportunity to meet with Janice Giddens, who is the food security manager, actually, for the Clarkson area, and she works with the Clarkson Community Center. She's the one who actually runs the community garden there. And we have had awesome conversations about food security in the area. And the garden there is only the first step. Of course, they do provide the farmers market, but there is a growing group of local growers within the Carson community as well. So you have people who are now putting gardens in their backyards, allowing some space within the Carson community for even public grow places. And, you know, in fact, my church and I are now in discussions about using some of our land as a public garden as well. So food security is certainly one of the top priorities within the community, and we find that as these spaces are becoming available, that it's beginning to build a more sustainable community through food security, even within the local area. So, again, this is just another way of Clarkson being a model for communities outside of this, you know, outside of Clarkson as well.
That's right.
You know, one connection here is this: if you look at the LCI study that was done, it identified all of the vacant lots in the city of Clarkson that LCI plan did. It had to do that in order to assess what are the developmental potentials in the undeveloped land. It used to be that undeveloped potential could only be seen in the form of buildings. But increasingly now, that undeveloped potential is being seen in the form of food production. And I would think that is a reason for each person, at least on this panel, to gain access to that LCI study so that you can see what they identified in terms of land use, as it's called in the study. How is the land used and what land is available to be developed, even for the purpose temporarily of producing food? So just a connection. But someone was about to make a comment. I'm sorry I cut you off, but someone was about to make a comment. Well, evidently not. I thought someone was about to say something. The next question I have, and what I'm looking for, is discussion around programs and initiatives that support community development. And one of those is an organized business community. So what's going on in Clarkson in terms of the business community coming together, organizing itself, because that's one of the source of resources that the nonprofit sector rely on, is a thriving business community being able to invest more and more into developing the institutional aspects of the community. So what's going on in terms of business organizations? Pam, are you there?
Yeah, I was thinking, this is Ronnie Amin. I was thinking earlier about that, Hakeem, and really I'm not aware. I know there's a business association in the area, but I'm not really aware of the business development as an organization in the sense, you know, in that sense, as well as actual plan for the business development. That's something that I'm definitely going to have to begin to research myself. I do see a lot of the newcomers who are coming here. After a period of time, they are developing businesses. I see that. We have a friend that's associated with the business association here, so I have to seek out information from her. She's a former city council person. I don't know whether she's still working with that, but I know she's aware of the development here as related to business. Because, like you say, that's a big part of any community, any society, or business, you know. So I'm just not aware of it, but I'm going to definitely seek to know more about that, you know.
Yeah. Other comments?
This is Imam Mendez, Brother Hakeem. I know in my mosque and some of the other mosques that are not in Clarkson, but they're still mountain, but a few you know, stones throw away from my mosque, there's a huge business community. You know, East Africans, Somalis, Ethiopians, and Eritreans are really, you know, very industrious and hardworking entrepreneurs. A lot of them have, you know, they have their own Western Unions, they have restaurants, they have grocery stores, they, you know, they drive taxis. And I was speaking to his brother earlier today, and he actually never, he everything he needs, every good and service he needs, he gets within the Clarkston, the circumference of Clarkston and, you know, bordering Stone, and that part of Stone Mountain that borders Clarkston. So I know that there's a pretty viable East African business community, but I think one of the challenges is that that business community doesn't really engage the wider Clarkston community in ways that it could. I think there's a lot of untapped potential there that we can look into trying to promote a better cross fertilization, if you want to use that word, of a business. Of businesses.
Yeah, you know, when you look at anywhere you go and find what is considered to be model communities, what you will see is a well-developed business infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. That's right.
And when you see communities that are in trouble, what you see is a disorganized business infrastructure. It is that business infrastructure that allows the circulation of resources to occur. They provide services and goods. They take in resources in exchange for those services and goods, and they value that market, so they reinvest some of those resources back into the institutional structure of the community because they want it to continue to grow and thrive and develop and expand. And so you get that cycle of sustainability. And I just raised that question because in this vision we're talking about, that organized business infrastructure that is invested in the vision is critical.
Right.
Other comments?
Yeah, this is Reverend Smith. I just wanted to point out that one of the challenges I think that we find in the Clarkston community where business is concerned is that many of the new business owners are potentially coming from areas where they are not familiar or countries where they're not familiar with the laws and ordinances and so on that accompany business ownership here in the United States. Then the second challenge then is that in order to organize business owners, those business owners have to be on one common accord in terms of in terms of language. And what we're finding is, you know, because we have so many people from different countries and cultural backgrounds, that I think it may be just difficult to get all these business owners together and speaking even in the same language so that they can understand that their power, their collective power, can be used, you know, together to form a coalition or some type of group that is empowered to go back to City Hall and stand their ground, so to speak. So I think that there is a business coalition. I'm not very certain of that. I haven't had the opportunity to meet anyone that is on that board, but I think those are some of the challenges that they may face, you know, in the future.
Mm. It might be good. This is Betty again. It might be good if, particularly those of us from the Clarkston Interfaith Group, make it our one of our focus, you know, to attend some of the business Clarkston Business Association meetings. Increasingly, faith communities are getting involved in business ventures. Instead of just having just a spirit, they're having the material component that a righteous spirit produces to help make sure that there are good things and wholesome things that businesses would bring to a community, because Ronnie and I have attended the Clarkston City Council meetings, and increasingly they're giving liquor licenses to the refugees to sell all different kind of alcoholic beverages, and we already are trying to develop a better relationship with the authorities. But you know, if we have to look at what kind of businesses the city council is giving license for in this city, so that could be have a very deleterious effect on citizens. You know, if the main business license you're giving out are liquor licenses, you know, and things like that. We have to kind of stay on top of these kind of real things that are happening that way, in this way, so that we can have some kind of influence. And we certainly need to go to the city council meetings, because, you know, they kind of operate in a vacuum many times, because the people who should be there may not be there. So that's important that you brought that up, because we certainly don't want the city to fall into just a total moral decay, you know, with new people coming here, you know, and getting this taste of sometimes what is not so good in the American culture, you know, and they already come here with some trauma. And then if you, you know, have all this access to these kind of things that can really injure and hurt the moral development of the human being, then we're going to have a bigger problem than we need to have if we be at the forefront of watching this kind of thing, you know, what licenses are given to businesses. And we were very disturbed that we have seen since in the last 6 months just a regular issuance of liquor license, you know, for the establishment for serving alcoholic beverages. So I wanted to share that.
So tell me about the interfaith movement. Share that with us.
Yeah, this is Reverend Smith. I think the interfaith movement is within the Clarkston community, I think, came about really generically. We, I think, people of like mind, of like spirit, sought out the resources to come together and really thought about the fact that in order for a community to really get together, it should start with its religious leaders and those who speak the respective languages of the cultures of the people that are coming in. And so upon me getting there in Clarkston, I sought out to speak with the imams and the religious, the respective religious leaders throughout the city. At one point, I was actually going from church to church and just kind of meeting the pastors, and I happened to mention to a good friend now, Mrs. Samia Abdullah, that I wanted to meet one of the imams. And so she hurriedly went about bringing the resources together, and she got me set up with the Amin family, Ronnie and Miss Betty Al-Amin. And we slowly but surely just started a conversation, and that conversation grew, and more people who were interested began to come, and slowly but surely it has developed into this beautiful group of people who are really interested in overcoming the stigmatism that is associated with relating to people with of other faiths, and really just getting down to the core of what we're about. My belief is that in every religion that you in the world, you know, there's a love for Creator, however you might define that, a love for your neighbor, and then, you know, and then the basic human rights. And if we stick to those three things, if we are attentive to those three things, you know, even in the Bible it tells us that, you know, the greatest of the commandments is to love God first and then to love thy neighbor as thyself. Then
yes.
Everything else is wrapped up in those two. Is what, you know, from my faith tradition, what Jesus says is that you know, everything else is wrapped up in those two. And so I come to it with a spirit of that idea in mind, that I love the Creator and I love my fellow human being, and I want to see us thrive together in one spirit, in one love, and be able to create community because we are building those relationships. And so I think that's really how the interfaith group within the city of Clarkson came about. And it's just been an amazing journey, even within the past 6 months, to see that not only is it about conversation and sharing our stories, but it's also about doing the work within the community for everyone, for the greater good.
Amen.
Other comments?
Can I just co-sign what Reverend Khalif just said?
Yes, please, man.
Well, blessings. I really appreciate that. Like I said, it's just been a beautiful, beautiful thing to put the idea out there that we could come together. And really and truly, as we were talking about those other issues, about business and about food security and about all the other issues that we've discussed here on the line tonight, really, if you look at it, in order for the respective cultures and communities that are represented within Clarkson, in order for them to really affect change and in order to for them to be engaged with government, then there has to be someone there that can relate what's happening in government into the language of the people who are represented, and vice versa. And so there have to be intermediaries, if you will, that carry the message of the respective groups back to those who are in leadership within the city council, within the, you know, city government, and their message of peace and of city governance, their message needs to also be conveyed back to the people. And so I think that's where I feel like the religious leaders need to work together in order to convey those messages back to people in their own languages, in their own culture, and meet, you know, really and truly meet people where they are.
Mm-hmm. Other comments on that? That's beautiful. Thank you, Reverend and Imam.
This is Betty Fonamine again. I'm so thankful for what Reverend Khalif said, as well as everybody on this panel tonight, Imam Mendez, Paul McLennan. You know, let me see what's the best way to put this. We are such a beautiful people of love and kindness and respect and patience and showing mercy to others, so forth and so on, that we also have to look at some of the problems that Clarkson is presenting, because I understand that we have
trafficking?
Trafficking.
Human trafficking? Yeah.
Yeah, that we have pedophiles. That's what I'm thinking of. And so we, in our love, we have to also look at some of these challenges and how we are going to address these. Well, these are some, like, with all the beauty that we see, these are some of the ugly things that are under the cover that we need to bring forth and see how we're going to approach, you know, these concerns. So I know there are others too, but we have to really be watchers, you know, over, you know, our neighbors and see how we will approach these other problems that are presenting themselves, but they're kind of hush-hush and kept quiet, you know, so as not to bring attention to the fact that there's some real issues here and challenges here that really need to be faced and not covered up or ignored.
Well, Sister Betty, you know, we're headed there. But what I was really trying to do was to bring clarity to some of the areas that we've covered based on this premise that that we follow, that we want to deal with, in any situation, put 90% of our energy on the solution and 10% on the problem. And that's the foundation for this program tonight. So we were going to get to challenges, but I was just really trying to tie some things together. And I have two more things I want to tie together because I think they're critical. One is that for human beings, we leverage our combined power when we have a shared vision.
Yes.
When we're living out of a shared vision. One of the purposes of the LCI grant was to help the community come up with a shared vision.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that shared vision was not developed in that plan, but I think you need to investigate that, because if you do not have a shared vision, it is hard for people to come together.
That's right.
You see, you have to have a picture that says to people, here are the benefits if you get in this picture, and here are the consequences if you don't get in.
Exactly.
Because that's the way life is organized. We create an environment, and that environment is a safety zone for human beings and human behavior. And it's not a good place for unhuman behavior and unhuman people.
That's right.
So my question is, are you familiar with somewhere there is a shared vision, a clear statement of what is community and what is not community? What is acceptable behavior? What is unacceptable behavior? I grew up in a home where that was real clear for my parents. To be in this home, here is the acceptable behavior, and here is the unacceptable behavior, and here are the consequences if you go against the acceptable behavior. If we do not have that clarity in our life, the environment, the community life, then people start wondering and drifting and coming up with all kinds of reasons to do things that are really hurtful to themselves and to others. So my question to the panel is this. Is there a shared vision for the future for the community of Clarkston?
If I may, I'll speak to that for just a moment.
Please,
I think within the context of even our interfaith group, we have struggled with this. You know, we have we've put it out there. We've come up with a vision statement, and then we recanted our vision statement, and then we toss it back out there, and then we try to modify it. This is a difficult thing to do. It's a difficult thing because you don't want to project a particular image of one individual, but you want to be sensitive to the needs and desires of the whole community. And so I think this has been a challenge, if you will, to come up with a specific vision statement, if you will, for the city of Clarkston or even the communities at large. But I think what we do understand is that we have to start with love. We have to start with caring for one another. We have to start with our own interaction and see how that develops and grows before we can attend to setting just this broad vision.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading a book by the Episcopal priest Morton Kelsey. And in that book, he says, seldom does transformation take place except within the context of human interaction, love, and caring. And so I think what's happening now in the city of Clarkson is that we are being attentive to loving and caring for one another while we develop that vision of what it means to be in community.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Fantastic. Fantastic. Thank you, Reverend, for sharing that.
Paul had a vision of a human rights charter. Paul, did you
want to
speak on that?
Yes, I was going to talk about that. I mean, other communities in this country and around the world, one prominent example historically is the Freedom Charter in South Africa. But even in local communities in this country, communities have used the human rights framework to say, here is a set of guidelines. Here is a set of principles that should govern a community that respects the rights of all people. And I think the process of how we first educate ourselves about what that human rights framework means, and then how it would take hold in the community at large is going to take time. But I think for some of us, we want to explore the potential of saying, what would it be like if the city of Clarkston adopted an ordinance or a charter that said, we will govern ourselves by these principles. And just to give you an example, the article from the Universal Declaration of Human Rights that we used on Human Rights Day was the one that refers to the freedom of religion. And this document is all-encompassing in terms of economic, social, cultural, political, and civil rights, and runs the range from housing to freedom of speech to freedom of religion, freedom of assembly, all these basic rights that could be used to help us formulate the vision of Clarkston that we want.
Right. Well, you know, I throw this out because I think it's very relevant to what we're talking about. Here in America, the foundation, I think, of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States is that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all human beings are created equal, and that they are endowed with certain rights among these from their creator. The creator has endowed them with those rights. Yes, they cannot be taken away.
That's right.
You've
got to have that in there.
Yeah, yeah. So if we're standing on that foundation, that declares that we're all connected.
That's right.
All human beings are connected. And if we work out from there, and it says that among these, not all of them, but among these is life, human life, the pursuit of happiness, establishment, among those rights of those. So we're talking about that. We're laying a foundation for that, and I think Clarkson is on its way.
Bye.
I think you're on your way. But, you know, I have found in the work that we do that most organizations are so steeped in themselves that they cannot get in an objective position to lead themselves through a vision process. So you almost need an objective observer to come in and help you go through a visioning process, because there are all kinds of dynamics that start interplaying from a subjective point of view where you need at least an objective observer that can be impartial to help you navigate, because you have to have the shared vision. I don't think there's a substitute for it. But when you have it, it's power, because now it's clear the benefits of being in and the benefits of not being in. So I thank you for sharing that, Reverend. But that's a big area. I think now other comments in this area?
No, I was going to say that I believe that conversation has started.
Yes.
I've had conversations with the mayor, and he's been a part of our interfaith group when he's available, and that conversation has begun.
Beautiful.
So.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. Well, where Sister Betty wanted to go, we're at that point now. But I think we've looked at all of the things that if attention is given to building upon those things, we can see a bright future ahead. So now we can look at the challenges. But before we do that, we have one caller who wished to ask a question, and we want to give them an opportunity to do that. So let's see if we can get that caller on to ask their question or make their comment. Caller in 44573, you have a comment or a question?
Yes, both. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
This is in greetings to all the brothers and sisters there. This is Daoud Sharif. I was just moved by all the encouraging and spiritually enlightening comments that were being made about the city of Clarkston, which is one of my favorite places to visit as well. And I'm hearing a whole new definition of the human being, because I've, in my observation, everybody that's in human form doesn't seem to be human. But this, what I'm hearing now, and one of the comments that I, well, questions I had, Brother Mendez initiated some comments that helped answer the question, which was dealing with the elemental aspect of any community based on the reality of God in the sense that he has given us these four elements, earth, air, water, and fire, the elements of the universe that are also, as Einstein would say, everything is relative, everything is related. So how those concepts relate to the community. And I heard him start addressing the economic, the business aspect, which is the earth. I heard him mention the government, which is the atmospheric element, which is the air. I heard him mention the religious and cultural aspects, which is the sensitivities of the community, the water. And I heard him mention the intellectual realm, the educational realm, the fiery realm, that which gives us light and heat, which is the science, education, and the technology aspect. My question was around how those four basic foundations of any given society are going to be architected to not just work together and bring about a unity of cultural ideals, but how they were going to be strategically implemented to institutionalize a balance, in the city of Clarkston, because that is something that would need to be done and assessed. And I gave real shallow expletives of those elements. They can all be developed and elaborated on. But, I would like to hear some more commentary on that. And Hakeem, I have known you for a while. I know that you have worked in the community development life and organized the communities, the city of Atlanta, actually, to establish Atlanta as an empowerment zone. And I can see Clarkston as an ideal candidate. I don't know if they still have enterprise zones or empowerment zones, but I know in L.A. they created a district around the Crenshaw area that was a commercial zone, and it was identified as a cultural haven where people knew from all over they could come to that one given area and have some of the best foods, international foods, cultural events, and things of that nature. And I can certainly see Clarkston as being a model, you know, for this country, starting with Georgia, but it can be a model throughout the country and show, you know, what real, true human cultural life could be in a balanced community atmosphere. So,
well, now, you know, as always, it's good to connect with you. I think you raised something that the panel can respond to. Can we just hold and let them see what they have to contribute to your question?
Please do. Thank you.
Yes, and we'll come back to you. Hold on. Panelists, did you hear that question? Want to make comment? Anyone? Not all at one time.
Yeah, this is Ronnie Amin. If I was understanding the question correctly, it was the question that how are these concepts, how would they be institutionalized? Is that the question?
Yeah, how do you manage them in such a way that they produce institutionalization? They become institutionalized. An institution means the pillars of the community. The pillars are resting on the community is resting on these pillars.
I'll speak to that for just a second. I was warned not to go here by a friend of mine, but I'm going to go here anyway.
Let's pray, Reverend, and we go there.
Sometimes when we allow for outside organizations to come in and do the work and create what they perceive as community and then leave, then community doesn't really develop and the ideas and concepts don't become institutionalized.
Correct.
I think what's different about the work that we're doing now is that it's coming from within the community itself. The community is beginning to embrace the change for itself, beginning to look at its own resources, beginning to grow from within, which creates this sustainability. And once that sustainability comes from within the community, those who are interested in not only doing the work but being there to see it through, then you see the concepts become institutionalized. You see the community develop into a stronger community with people who are empowered to do the work, which maintains the concepts and continues the idea. But when you just have outside entities that come in and do some work and then, you know, get their hands dirty for a little while, maybe institute some ideas and then take off, then it doesn't create an institutional concept of community. And so I think what's happening now is that even though there are still organizations that are helping with the work and that are a part of what's happening in Clarkston community, really and truly the base of what's happening is coming from those who live there, work there, are interested in seeing the community grow and develop, but also become sustainable. And that, I think, what's the difference.
Great. Fantastic. Thank you, Reverend. Imam, you want to take a cut at that? He mentioned your name. Imam Mendez? I guess he dropped off.
Brother Yameen and others, I just want to share, this is Betty Hassan Amin, I want to share a vision that the former mayor, Howard Tigret, he was the mayor for a year, and he passed away. But he made, he presented a State of Clarkston address before he passed away, and Ron and I were blessed to be in attendance to hear that address. I remember specifically four areas of concern that he was deeply had a passion for and presented that evening. He said to make Clarkston pedestrian friendly, to bring jobs to Clarkston. I told you about the different walkability and the different bikeability and accessibility features that had begun in Clarkston before he passed away. He also talked about bringing jobs to Clarkston. He was the one who initiated what we now see as the Dollar General on Indian Creek across from the Clarkston Library. He talked about education. He said that the schools in Clarkston were not up to standard with regard to education. He would pursue the development of a charter school program in Clarkston. He next said that he would see to it that the housing in Clarkston was more than just livable, that it would be beautiful housing for people. I'm living in one of those complexes called the Avalon on Montreal. I've heard no further discussion about that vision that the Clarkston former mayor, Howard Tiger, he was 40 years old. He was a beautiful mayor, very sensitive, didn't think he was above coming to your home and visiting and sharing. But I've not seen any moving forward on that vision. I wondered if the people who are now part of city council even remember his vision or to move on it and make it really become, you know, a reality in classes. I was there, so I wanted to share that because I keep keeping my ears open to hear if anybody talking his language, and I'm not really hearing it.
Well, okay. You know, when someone speak a vision like that, those who hear it become partners in it.
It's true.
And so it becomes, because as one national speaker always say in one of his speech, all of us know one thing for sure, that none of us going to get out of here alive.
That's for real.
And so when we hear things that relate to our collective humanity, we hear that vision, it becomes our job to keep that vision alive.
That's real.
And sometimes that's very difficult, but those who heard it have to keep it alive.
That's
and I know you know what I'm talking about, Sister Betty, because we're dealing with that.
Yes.
Keeping a vision alive.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we're at a point right now where we have 10 minutes left in the program. And I tell you, this has been a wonderful experience for me. We visualized this program happening when we did the program with Brother Ronnie and Sister Betty. We visualized that we would have a program one day where we would have a panel of guests like this. And I tell you, this is very rewarding to me. I don't know about you, but this is very rewarding to me. We want to allow some time for each one to be able to make a final comment, and then we'll do some closing remarks, and we'll close the program out. If anywhere in your heart and your spirit you think we need to have a round two in this conversation, I am totally open to it, so long as we structure it in such a way that it is adding to or building upon what we were able to do tonight. So keep that in mind, and I'm open for that consideration should your spirit move you in that direction. Clearly, what we've cultivated tonight is some soil that is very rich, in my opinion, and can support a life. powerful light. I've seen that cultivated tonight, and so I want to open up right now for any one of the panelists who want to make a brief but closing statement, and then we'll give some closing remarks and close the program out with thanks to Almighty God for blessing us with this. Closing comments.
Yes, this is Ronnie Amin, and I was still just reflecting on the question that the brother that spoke, Brother Sharif, spoke about, and I've often reflected on that. I know that in order to bring something into fruition or institutionalize something, there has to be first ideals and a concept that comes in really to me, a body of language. A body of language is what produces institutions. You know, you have to have a body of language or body of knowledge to produce institutions. So I think that's an ongoing process. It's not an overnight process. And it's something that takes patience, and it takes endurance, and it takes good, clear thinking to do that, you know. So
yeah.
I think that we are in that process. We're in that process, and I pray that we'll continue to be committed, and others will be joined in, those who have the capabilities, who have experience, but joined in the effort to make the Somali community, those who have more knowledge and experience to join in and give support to bringing about this model community in the sense that it will be something that will last, be a lasting community. And I appreciate being on the program tonight. I appreciate being in the company of such good people. And this will be a conversation that I'll continue to reflect on and continue to grow from, I'm sure. So we appreciate it. Appreciate
it. Yeah.
Everyone have a blessed night.
We appreciate you, Brother Ronnie. Other closing comments?
Yeah, brothers and sisters, I'd just like to take the opportunity to say thank you. Thank you for welcoming me into the Carson community, and thank you for adding me to be a part of this conversation. Like Brother Ronnie just said, I think it should be an ongoing conversation. It's something that I certainly will reflect on for many days to come. But more importantly, that we continue the work that we've started, not just the conversation, because the conversation is certainly important, but that we continue the work of building community, of building relationships, of educating and becoming more aware of each other. And I think through that process, Clarkston will be that ideal community, the perfect model for other communities throughout the world. So thank you again.
Thank you, brother. Imam Mendez?
Yes, yeah, I want to apologize for my line getting cut off when the brother asked this question. But I just want to second what Brother Ronnie and Reverend Khalif just said. I think that more important than the discussion, and there needs to be a discussion, is the work. I think that building, the key to us building sustainable, long-lasting institutions is going to come out of our shared experiences in service, out of shared experiences in service. And those shared experiences will build a body of collective knowledge as well as a collective consciousness that I think can really assist us in identifying our common needs, regardless of our faith, our ethnicity, our race, and our common aspirations. And we need more efforts like this. I was pleasantly surprised at the high level of thought and reflection that I heard from each of the panelists. And my prayer is that we get to meet in person and talk about these things, hopefully with Brother Hakim facilitating, so that we can really begin to map out a plan. The plan may take a year, it may take 10 years. What's important is we're taking steps towards a common goal. So once again, like everyone else, I thank you for inviting me, and I look forward to working with all of you and fellowshipping with you as well.
Thank you, man. Thank you, man. Okay, well, with that in mind, we would like to squeeze in one more comment, and then we'll do closing remarks, and we'll have to close the program up. One more, please. Okay, closing remarks. I thank you so much for investing this time, each one of you. It is a beautiful experience. The future is very bright, in my opinion. And it has always been bright because God said it was bright, said it is bright, that he's managing the affairs, and he has decided that his human creation is going to be successful. So that keeps me going. But tonight added to that, and I want to thank each one of you for investing the time in this conversation. I pray, God, that he inspire it to be a continued conversation. And I want to leave you with one thought, and then I'll give some other closing remarks, and we'll be out. God says in the Holy Bible, he says that without vision, the people will perish. So that means that the reverse of that, with vision, we cannot perish. We can survive. We can become established. So vision is a crucial thing. God said it. And I believe that rings true in all of the revealed scriptures. Vision for the human being is his power to create the world that God loves, that God has anticipated for his human creation. And I leave you with that thought. We look forward to you visiting us for the program in another week. My wife, Kadira, will be the host, and she will be dealing with some issue and some guests relating to health. It is very strong in her attention, health and well-being. And so we invite you to come back with us. We also invite you to take the opportunity to gain access to our book that we have recently published. The title of it is The Transcending Mind. It is available on ebook only now and print form later on, but it can be accessed at booktangle.com. So we invite you to read the book. It goes into detail exploring these very issues that we've talked about tonight. We want to also inform our audience that we, Kadira and I, do seminars and workshops around this conversation that we've had tonight, both from the wealth side and the health side, and we will entertain invitations to conduct seminars going deeper into these topics. I also do public speaking on the same, and so requests for public talks, public addresses, dealing with community planning and development, we welcome that from the listening audience. But again, we close with a prayer and a thank you for each one of you, and we look forward to communicating with you and connecting with you as we go forward in this life. The closing prayer is in English and is entitled Time by the Ages. And it goes like this in English. With God's name, most gracious, most merciful, by the token of time through the ages, verily man is in a state of loss, except those who have faith, those who engage in righteous deeds, who have patience, and who have constancy. I mean. As-salamu alaykum, good night, and thanks.
Good night. Wa alaykum as-salam.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Peace be with you all.
I can't get it. To close it out. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord. I think I'm kind of tired.
That one?
No, it's up. It's on there.
It's on there what?
Through here. No, but you got to go back into the thing.
Oh.
Studio. You won't click? I didn't see Ian episode. Click. Click. There, click in episode. Kadira, we can do that later. We can do that later.
I think I can pull this up.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
This is something different, all right? No, but I mean, it's just, I don't think they feel.
I think it's a big deal, and I'm the one who's doing the show. You should just